Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Smashville Live tomorrow night out in Bellevue from 7 until 8 o'clock. Chase, what do you know about Smashville Live?
Well, I know I'm going to be hosting it. It's going to be at the Brew House 100 there in Bellevue, just right off Highway 100. And Ida and Julie will be my guests. Of course, their podcast. Ida, of course, the wife of Matthias Ekholm, Julie, the wife of Kyle Turris. So it'll be interesting to get their perspective on the news that has happened over the last couple of days and kind of see what they think about it. But looking forward to it. We get started at 7 o'clock, so come out and hang out with us from 7 to 8 at the Brew House 100 there in Bellevue. Should be a lot of fun.
Sorry, I can't find my liner, so I couldn't add the...
Well, Elijah sent them to you.
The end part.
But
who they're brought to you by. Sorry. But you should go out to Bellevue.
You should.
From 7 to 8 tomorrow.
You should. I think.
I wonder what Julie Turris thinks of the move.
That'll be interesting to hear.
Well, honestly, I think she...
And hang on. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer.
Very
nice. Look at that. I think those two have handled themselves very well through this half season. I mean, it's not an easy position to be in, probably more so for Julie than for Ida, but I think they've both done a very good job managing through that.
Let's head over to the campus of Lipscomb Academy. We have been over there. We've done a show. We had a great time on a Friday afternoon. We talked to their head football coach, who may know a little bit about Titans and Ravens in the playoffs. He may be able to weigh in on it. Yeah, Trent Dilfer's on the line.
He had that ring on when we were over there.
Yeah, he did. He had a big ring on. Trent, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How you been?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys also.
So what's new and exciting in your world over at Lipscomb before we talk about this matchup?
Oh, man, we're always cranking. Trying to get better from a football standpoint, but now really the focus, the kids are playing basketball and doing other things and just making sure academically they're squared away and making sure we hit the spring running.
Can you get us in shape now that it's 2020 in your indoor facility? We probably need to.
I need to get in shape. I started a juice cleanse today because I came back from vacation 20 pounds heavy. And my daughters actually saw me do a Colin Cowherd hit and pulled me aside and said, "Dad, look at this. You are so fat. You're not healthy." And then my oldest daughter is getting married February 9th, and she put me on a 20-pound. I have to lose 20 pounds by February 9th to have my wedding body so I can fit in the tuck she's getting me.
The wedding body.
Did that really happen from your daughter?
Yes. I'm brutally honest. People that know me know that I don't, I'm just pretty transparent, pretty brutally honest. I guess my daughters have gotten it because they literally, all three of them sat me down and said, "Hey, fatty, like, let's go."
So they had an intervention about your weight.
Yes. After a Colin Cowherd hit where they saw me on TV and they're like, "Uh-uh. Doing that, Dad."
Yeah, we actually have multiple televisions. In fact, one big one in our studio. And every week we usually find we point there like, "Hey, there's Trent." Usually you got your Lipscomb Academy stuff on. Good promotion for where you are and pretty neat. Well, that's kind of a funny story. I'm glad you're using the facility to get in shape. What do you remember about that run back in 2000, in January of 2000, the run to the Super Bowl?
The things that stick out were just the mindset, the intense laser-like focus we all had. We didn't really get caught up in the noise. Where Brian Billick was really, really good, it was his greatest gift, was he came from a PR background. So he handled all the noise for us. Now, this is before before social media. This is before the intensity of the noise now. But we didn't deal with any of that stuff. He dealt with all that for us. And all we talked about was ball. All we talked about was the next challenge. All we did every day during that run was wrap our brains around how we were going to win the Super Bowl. And I think it was that kind of locked-in mentality, that mindset, that I remember the most. I remember plays, and somebody posted last night kind of the highlights from the divisional playoff game that year. And I remember, and I'd forgotten there were three blocked kicks in that game.
Yep.
So I remember the one, yeah, I remember the score. I remember the one we scored on. I had forgotten that they blocked two punts of ours.
And I think came up with a total of 3 points or maybe six. Three, right? That was a huge part of the game. As you block two kicks, you expect to get more than 3 points.
Yeah, don't ever show that game to Derek Mason.
And then the Titans moved the ball at will early on our great defense. And Al, who's a good friend of mine and was a great kicker, and, you know, he gets one blocked. He misses another short one. That was points you guys left on the table. I do remember vividly McNair throwing the ball behind Eddie and Ray picking it off and scoring. I remember, I've told this story on the radio before, but you guys had stolen my playbook out of my locker in week 11, so Greg knew all of our calls. And every time I went to the line of scrimmage, before I'm calling the signals, you guys are calling out the plays, and you kept bringing these free rushers and hitting me in the ribs. I probably got hit in the ribs 15 times that game. I remember that. But it's what I tell people the most is that was the year, kind of like the NFC was this year. That was the year the AFC was just – whoever won the AFC was going to smoke whoever they played in the Super Bowl. It ended up being us, but the Titans would have smoked the Giants. The Raiders would have smoked the Giants. Like, the AFC was loaded. It was a three-headed monster.
Yeah.
And the three of us didn't know who was going to win. I mean, all of us get together now, Titans, Ravens, Raiders, that were on those teams, and we all knew we were good. We were equally good. It was going to be who got the break that day, which way the ball bounced, which coach doesn't screw it up, and that was going to be the team that won, and that's kind of how we got through it.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer on the line with us. I want you to go back on and talk about that. You talked about keeping the noise out, because you're right, it was different. That was, that's 20 years ago, and today with social media and so many channels we have now, I mean, there's shows everywhere. Sports talk radio is different than back then. But that happened this weekend. And it happened, the Titans get asked the questions of, you were underdogs. I mean, you weren't supposed to beat the Patriots. And the Vikings getting asked the same questions. Oh, nobody expected you to win. And you could see the looks on the players' faces or coaches. Well, that's what you guys were saying. That's not what we were saying. That's not what we were talking about and preparing for all week. So talk about trying to keep that element out that we think that everybody's thinking like that, but a lot of times it truly is just fans and media, but it's not in those rooms, and not in those walls.
Well, I think this is where the strength of a head coach shows up the most. I'm going to answer your question, but I want to start with just a Vrabel conversation. When I was asked about Mike when I moved into Tennessee, because I think people were still questioning before the last really 9 weeks, I think people had some questions about Mike. I kept telling them, like, listen, what am I? I'm just a high school football coach. But I'll tell you this. If I were to pick a man to lead my son and message him the right way, it would be Mike Vrabel. Like this, you have a rock star head coach. Now, he had a horrible mustache for most of the year. but he's a rock star. He knows how to do this. My point being is this is the strength of a head coach is the messaging. You're not doing a ton of X's and O's. I mean, Mike and I have talked about this. You spend most of your day scheduling and thinking about how to message your team and how to protect your team. Your coordinators are doing the bulk of the deep dive work. So really, one of the things I think Mike's done a great job of, going all the way back to the Tannehill move, was protecting his team from conversations and getting involved in narratives that don't help you win a game. Now you go to the playoffs, you're getting ready to play the Patriots. He won three Super Bowls with them and all the stuff you're talking about. Was there a better person that can just kind of give the players the right perspective and message every single day, every meeting, every pre-practice, every post-practice, every time he addresses the team, he can take a lot of that from them and help them message when that camera gets put in front of their face or when they come on your guys' show or when they do their own TV show. He gives them the talking points. And it's that thought leadership through that process that I think really showed up last week. I look at it from a distance, obviously. I got my job I'm trying to do. But as I watch the TV shows, the local stuff, I'm hearing guys interviewed, I just heard Mike Vrabel speaking through different players. And that's the genius, that's the power of a head coach in the NFL.
We're talking to Trent Dilfer, breaking down this upcoming matchup, the Titans against the Ravens in the divisional round. Trent, give us your thoughts on the win over Belichick. I thought it was really something. You were just talking about all the accolades of Mike Vrabel. I thought it really showed up in that game. It was a brilliant chess match, the field position game, using what you had, playing the score in time, using Brett Kern to your advantage. What were your thoughts on just being able to win in that environment?
They know who they are. That's their secret sauce right now. Is that they know who they are. They know who they are defensively. They know who they are special teams wise, and offensively, it's obvious who they are. They are a Derrick Henry driven team with explosive passing abilities. Now they did the explosive stuff didn't show up against the Patriots because they didn't have to. But they know exactly who they are, so they never get out over their skis. They don't try to be anything they're not. They have an identity. That's the football lingo that everybody will use, is they have an identity in all three phases. And that's why they won the game, because they never panicked. They never felt uncomfortable. They never they controlled the game because they know who they are and they know how they needed to control it. A high-volume run, take your shots in the passing game, even though they didn't always hit, and then convert at critical times. Defensively, keep everything in front of you. Don't get beat by the big play. And eventually, the other team's going to beat themselves. And then outside all the missed kicks this year, and that is something obviously has to be addressed in this offseason, they are one of the best special teams in the league on how they cover kicks and how they block kicks, how smart they are in the kicking game. They typically win the field position battle. And, I mean, when you know exactly who you are, you're not going to panic because you're not trying to be something you're not.
How well is Derrick Henry running the ball right now? And as you said, with the identity that's gone with that, the development of the offensive line, compared to other running backs you've seen, I mean, it just looks to me like he's running about as well as you can run the ball right now.
Vision and contact acceleration. Anytime you run the outside zone game, that's what your back has to have. One, you know, those holes evolve in the midst of the play. So the runner has to have vision. Derek has great vision. But then the one thing that we not enough people talk about is that contact acceleration. You're going to have initial contact. In that scheme, there's going to be a backer running through, coming over the top. There's going to be a defensive lineman disengaging from his block and getting an arm out there. There's going to be an outside edge defender diving back inside when he sees the hole open. So you're going to have that initial contact. What Derek does better than anybody in the league right now is as that contact happens, that's when he's accelerating. So that's why he breaks. Now, obviously, he has incredible physicality. But he maximizes that physicality because he accelerates in that initial contact. And that's why you see so many of his runs. Okay, we all see the hole on TV because television's awesome right now and you can see everything. He puts his foot in the ground. We all see it and then we go, uh-oh, there's somebody coming. And then he runs right through it, whether it's an arm, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's a safety coming downhill, whether it's a linebacker half squaring him up. And he just consistently runs through that first contact because he's accelerating. Now he's on the second level. Then you see people making business decisions. And you force secondary guys to make enough business decisions in the course of a football game, and now you own the fourth quarter. And that's what they've done this year. I mean, they've owned the fourth quarter because of some very simple principles. They know who they are. They're going to stick with what they do, and Derek's going to wear your butt out by the end of the day.
Talking to Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback head coach at Lipscomb Academy. And I remember talking to you when we were over there about Ryan Tannehill. He had had the reins for a few games at that point. But when you look at his whole season since he took over, this offense really started to click, and Derrick Henry, I know, had a lot to do with that. But what did you see out of Ryan Tannehill that helped get this offense going in the direction that Arthur Smith, the OC, wanted it to go?
Well, it fits him. You know, he was in this offense. See, I was Ryan's biggest advocate. I mean, I took so much heat in Miami because I was constantly saying Ryan Tannehill could be a top 10 quarterback in the league. And everybody in Miami saying, no, he's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I say, he's in the wrong system. He's in this kind of spread out, shotgun only, quick passing offense. And that's not his gig. He, like Kirk Cousins, they're very similar. They're turn your back to the defense, put the ball in the belly, get seven steps deep, and push it down the field. They're extremely accurate downfield passers. Ryan also has the athleticism, the twitch in his body, to kind of make that first guy miss or bob and weave or buy himself some space and time, and if it's a pocket, or he can extend the play outside the pocket, or you can change the launch point by calling design rollouts or bootlegs. So he's really versatile when you put him in the right system. And then what happened, I went through this when I left Tampa, you almost have the right kind of I don't give a you know what anymore. You're like, I know how to do this. I'm not worried about what people say. I'm cutting it loose and letting it rip. And I'm not worried about all the bad stuff that can happen. And he's just playing free. He's playing decisive. He's made some of the biggest throws in the league this year. And only people around here know, because nobody knew the Titans were even having a good season until last week. But now I'm living in Nashville, and I'm watching every single snap, and I'm kind of become a Titans fan. Like, and then I'm also, because I'm talking on TV on Mondays, I'm also watching Lamar, I'm watching Mahomes, I'm watching Breeze, I'm watching everybody else too. He played top five quarterback in the entire league up until last week. And last week was just more a product of how the pace of the game went. But he has been awesome. Not good. He's been awesome because of the fit. Now, that fit obviously has a lot to do with they have one of the best runners in football. They have a system they believe in. They have a play caller that's not gonna get off schedule. So there's a lot of good things happening, but Ryan deserves a ton of credit for how he's played.
Now their opponent this weekend, Baltimore, I mean, we've seen this offense run by Lamar Jackson and what they've been able to do this season. Do you think that this is sustainable beyond this year, or is this a type of offense where the league is – they're going to get the film. They're going to start to figure it out.
It's somewhere in between the two. I'm not willing to jump on either side of that argument. I do think that he is a unique player in a unique time in the NFL with unique schemes that are going to – it's going to take a little bit longer to completely write this book on him. Like everybody says, like everybody, the worst analogy out there, I apologize if one of y'all have used this analogy, but it's dumb if you have, is the Wildcat. The Wildcat was a limited package that the league did find out really quickly, wrote the book on it, and said, okay, that's not going to be a huge impact thing anymore. This is a complete offense. This is a comprehensive A to Z offense that's unique. So it's going to take the league 2, 3, 4 years to change their personnel and their schemes to completely defend it. Now, is it going to be as explosive as it's been this year? I don't think it's going to be explosive this week. I give the Titans a really good chance. And I will say full transparency, I'll be in Baltimore Saturday night being honored before the game as the legend of the game for the Ravens. So I'm probably going to get heat by going up there. I think it's a coin flip game. I mean, that's how much I believe in the Titans' ability to slow it down, and I think the Titans will score some points. So I think it's going to be slowed down. It's not going to be as explosive, but it's not going away. Lamar Jackson's not going away. The wrap zone read game is really, really, really hard to defend. You are a man short, so then what you have to do is you have to – have limited secondary profiles, so limited coverages basically, to recruit somebody close enough to the line of scrimmage that is a run-first player. So you see Lamar make all these throws on these, like, let's call them these 20-yard chunk throws where guys are running down the seams or running kind of deep crossing patterns or banana routes. That's really the three main concepts they run. Well, they do that because they're attacking an area of the field where you had to take somebody out of your secondary and bring him closer to the line of scrimmage to account for this unique run game. Oh, and then, by the way, they can run their seven traditional power and zone schemes their Belson League runs that are really good schemes, but you're too busy worrying about the other stuff, and they just gash you with that stuff. So, and 13 personnel is a very hard personnel to match when those tight ends can run. Because you don't really want to put big people on the field because now you're going to have a tight end matchup on a slow linebacker. You don't want to put little people on the field because obviously now you get run over. So if you just put your base personnel on the field, there's going to be one matchup that's in the offense's favor in the passing game. So it just really creates a giant headache for defenses. So another long-winded Dilfer answer. It'll be slowed down, but it's not going to be stopped.
All right, last thing, Trent. I'm going to hit you with a tough one. We had Rashawn Evans on last week, Titans linebacker, and I ended the interview by saying, okay, who are you rooting for in the national championship game, LSU or Clemson? I knew that would be very difficult for a guy who played at Alabama to answer. So now I'm going to hit you with a similar question as we wrap this up. We've been watching some of these bowl games, including Tennessee's bowl game against Indiana, where there was a guy by the name of Tim Hasselbeck in the booth as a color commentator. Was he a better quarterback or is he a better color commentator, in your opinion?
Way, way, way better color commentator. I will say this, not just because they're two of my best buddies on the planet. Tim and Matthew both have become fantastic at calling college football games.
Wow, okay.
They make most of their money being NFL analysts, like we all work together at ESPN. But I text Matt the other day. I said, I know you're not going to do this long term because, you know, you're killing it on Sunday Countdown. But they are both fantastic calling games. The guy that worked for me for 9 years at ESPN, still works for me and for my foundation, produces both of them when they're on the road. He's kind of the guy that goes on the road with them. And I text him every time they call a game. I'm like, did you give them that or did they come up with that on their own? They've both become fantastic at what they do. In fact, I enjoy listening to their games as much as anybody. And Tim wasn't a very good quarterback. He'll tell you that.
Well, we have him on tomorrow, Trent, so we'll make sure we'll play this one.
We'll pass that along tomorrow.
just play my sound.
We will definitely do that. Hey, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Loved it. Would love to get over there again sometime in the fall next season for one of your games and hang out and do a show there at your place again. Congrats on being honored this weekend. Go have fun, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. You guys are always welcome at Lipscomb Academy. I appreciate you.
All right, that is Trent Dilfer. Good stuff from him, and we will indeed play that clip for Timmy tomorrow. That'll be fun. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to give us a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company. Fantastic outfit. 615-567-1000 is the phone number. Now, if you're coming to Bridgestone Arena tonight, of course, the Predators will be in the spotlight. Lee Company always alongside. They're a big supporter of Nashville Predators hockey. They are a huge sponsor of our radio coverage, which will start up at 6 o'clock, of course, with Darren, Pete, and Hal. But back to Lee Company. The home maintenance plan, I have been saying it for years. We subscribe to it in our house. It has paid dividends for us. Because think long-term with this. Preventive maintenance, it's a smart way to go. Have the four annual checkups of your heating system, your cooling unit, your plumbing system, your electrical system. They'll come in and give those annual checkups, and I'm telling you, they'll find the small problems before they become big problems. And they'll identify things that might need a tune-up. That will save you money over the long term because you get discounts on any repairs that do need to be made. It's Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Or go to LeeCompany.com and make an online appointment. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.